All right, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to be reading a very long passage. My head's going to be down, so I hope your heads will be down too. We're going to be going to Daniel 3, and I'm going to be reading 13 through 30. Now, I really should have read all of Daniel, but we don't have 2 days. Okay, and I should have read all of Daniel 3, but that's a lot long. So I'm just going to quickly tell you in the very first 13 verses, King Nebuchadnezzar built himself a statue very high, and he asked for everybody to come and bow down before it and worship it. And he lists all the strings of music, and we're going to get to those. And as he does that, all the people bow down, except for three. And the three are told to Nebuchadnezzar. And so now what we're picking it up is where he is going to go ahead and speak to the three that did not bow down. So we're going to be starting with verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into that blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, O king." And he said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any other god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I love the Old Testament because I love to see the patriarchs and I love to see their faith. And I love to hear their stories because they're human and they don't mind that we get to see their human side. But what I love the most is how it shows us just how intimately God is involved in our lives. Daniel and his three friends exhibit such great and unwavering faith. And unwavering faith is really what I pray all of us have throughout our entire lives. But unwavering faith isn't something that we're born with. Now, I believe we're born with faith. I believe God, that's a gift from God. And I always tell people, I came out of my mom's womb knowing who Jesus was. My faith has been with me for as far as I can remember. But the depth of my faith came with a life spent with God. With a life that has learned to be with God. A life that spends quality time with God. Not just one Sunday for 1 hour. And then home. Unwavering faith comes from a life that knows how to have time with God. And we're going to see how that works in the book of Daniel. We learn in Daniel 1 that Daniel and his three friends are just part of the tribe of Israel, which has been taken captive, and they are in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar is not a very nice king, but he is who has them. And we know that these four men were chosen to serve very close to the king because, well, they're good-looking and they're intelligent. So they're the cream of the crop of the Jews. And they come into the king's service, and because they are now in the king's service, what the king wants is he wants them to be served from the food that's from his table. But Daniel and his friends know that to eat that food would to be to defile themselves. And so they pray and they ask that they not be able to eat that food. God sees this faith in them. God sees this and they are with God in this. God honors that faith and they are excused from eating the king's food and they flourish in those 10 days. In chapter 2, we read that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And when he woke up from the dream, he was bothered. So he went to his men, and Daniel was in that group. And he asked them to tell him what that dream was about and to interpret it. And when the men tell the king that they can't possibly tell him what his dream was about, the king then says, well, then I'm going to execute all of you. Daniel buys them all time, goes home to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They pray. They lean and trust on God. God honors that faith. That faith continues to grow. God gives to Daniel the vision and the interpretation. These are stepping stones. So when we get to chapter 3, we begin to see that the faith that they had when taken into captivity has now developed into a dependence on the God who has them in captivity. Okay? Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar, feeling very mighty of himself, probably took a good selfie. Okay? Decides to build a statue really high and lists all these instruments that are going to play, and at the end of all of that music, everybody is to bow down and worship the image that he has made. Now, there's a lot of people there, and you got to know that the king did not look up to see who wasn't doing this. I mean, how would he have known that those three men did not bow down? Well, he found out because the advisors, who are, by the way, lower than these three men, are jealous. And they have a very evil intent for reporting this. And they go to the king And they tell the king that these three men did not bow down. Now the king summons Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him. And he kind of goes over it like one more time with them. Kind of like, maybe you didn't understand. But like all these instruments are going to play. And I love the message that's, you know, one of the Bibles that you can read. It's got a different, you know, interpretation. But they don't list out the instruments. They just call it the big band. So they said, when Nebuchadnezzar says, when the big band gets done playing, I want you guys to bow down. So he's giving them another opportunity. But he tells them what will happen. He's saying to them, if you don't do this, you're going to go into the fiery furnace. And then what God can save you from my hand? That's a pretty good question. And I can understand why that king is saying that. And think about it. God certainly didn't save them out of his hand from captivity. I mean, they might be serving the king. They might be close to the king. Despite of how Disney makes captivity look, captivity is still captivity. And they're still captives. And I'm positive that king is thinking, well, if your God was going to save you, would you not be free from where you are right now? But your God can't do that. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar thinks, that he's so great and mighty because these are his captives, that there's absolutely no way God can do that. And you know, when we're pressed to the flames and we're kind of stuck in situations and we hear somebody give a doubt about God, sometimes those thoughts play through our minds too, and we think, oh, maybe God isn't. And we aren't bold enough to say it's not possible, but we'll say it's possible but not probable that God's going to do this. Like, we have to help God save face or give him an out. But those three men didn't respond back to the king like that. Those three men listened to what the king said. They certainly knew they were captives. They certainly knew God had not saved them from the king's hand so far. But they've spent time with God. And their faith in God developed and grew and got deeper and greater. So then we get to verse 18, where these men say to the king, if you throw us in that furnace, the God we serve can save us. And they believe that. They believe the possible. They believe the probable. They're saying God can do this. But even if, and it's that even if, that is completely different and the game changer. Because that even if is the equivalency to what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. That even if is, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. So what the men are saying is, if it be God's will that I burn to death, then I will burn to death. If that be God's will for me. They know God can pull them from those flames. They know God can stop them from going in those flames. They know God. But it is so well with them that whatever God decides to do, it will be well with their soul. Because they have faith in God, not in what God can do, but in what God has already done and in who he is. And there are many times that we are pushed and pressed hard into the flames. And there are many times when our faith gets stretched and bent and tested. And we're looking out and we're begging God to take whatever that cup is away from us. But if we have really spent time with God, if we have developed our relationship with Him, then our faith becomes unwavering. It's weighted. And that faith carries us through. And that faith helps us know that regardless of how it's answered, we're still going to be with God. He loves us. He's not going anywhere. In fact, those are the two lessons we get from this story. The first, and I think the most important, is regardless of what we go through, Jesus is with us. In that fiery furnace, there were three men and God. And they were unbound and they were unharmed. Listen to this. This world can destroy your body. This world cannot take your life. That belongs to Jesus. And He will be with you no matter what it is you go through. You will never go through anything alone. He will always be with you. He will go into a fiery furnace to be with us. The second thing we learn is that God just doesn't spring stuff on us. Nothing ever happens to us. We don't need this kind of faith as newborn Christians. This is a Christian that has been with Christ. This is somebody who has developed their faith. God prepares us. He doesn't just plunk us. He gives us time to develop this faith in Him so that we're sturdy. We might be built on the rock, but that faith needs to grow. Summer is the perfect, perfect time for you to take stock in where you've been with God. I love, and I know that I tell you guys all the time you should be journaling only because I love to journal, but I love to reflect. I love to go back. I like to pull out all the times that I have seen God in my life. And trust me, He has not answered the way I wanted, because if He did, my husband would be here with us. Okay? But He doesn't have to answer it the way I want. Knowing He is with me, no matter how He answered, is really all that matters. But I go even before that day, and I see all the times, all the markers that God has given me, all the steps that I have taken with Him, how He developed me. And I continue to do that and journal that. And He really prepared me, because when Caden came around, had I not developed unwavering faith with God, two storms would have knocked me out. But they can't, because He took His time with me and He takes His time with you. So I'm going to ask you when you go today that you spend time. And I know that your lives are busy, but when you have that quiet time with God, sit with Him. If you don't remember where those markers are, ask Him to bring them to your mind so that you can see where you've been with Him, so you can see the steps that you have taken. Truly, truly, the joy of the Lord is His strength, the strength that He gave us at times when we needed it. And mark those down. It doesn't mean you're heading into a storm, but it shows you how intimately God worked with you in your lives and how He has been with you. Because if a storm does come, I want you to be able to say, no matter how God answers it, it will be well with my soul. Because what is well with our soul when we say that is that His will be done, regardless of what our will is. That even though Jesus wanted that cup taken from Him, He willingly went and died on the cross. That if this be my Father's desire for me, let that rest well with my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, too many times we get scared. Too many times we worry. We wonder. We're afraid. We panic. We want so much for something to be changed, to be different. We want to be rescued. We want to be saved. We want our way. Because we cannot think that anything less than our way is going to be your will. We do not understand how this suffering can ever be your will. I pray, Heavenly Father, that in those moments that you will quiet our spirits, that you will give to us the faith that is needed at that time for us to rest well in who you are. And who you are is a great Father who loves us and does not give us less, but will give us far greater. For no matter what we go through with you, and we shall always see your glory. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.